You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Doing well, that's good. Welcome to PHLY Flyers. My name is Bill Matz. I'm your director of fun and games for the evening. Joining me tonight is Broad Street Hockey's own Kelly
Hinkle. It's warm in there, fam. I'm gonna be honest with you.
It seems uncomfortable.
In the winter, that was a lot of fun, but I'm now sweating already. Probably has nothing to do with my lifestyle and everything to do with the mask. Anyway, the Flyers have done it. They have won a Metropolitan Division game, Kelly Hinkle. 0-6-4 in their last 10 Metro Division games. They have not won one since December 19th, 2023, 3-2 in overtime over the Devils. 0-4 against the Metro Division in calendar year 2024. So of course tonight, on the heels of an 8-game losing streak and all hope being lost, they go into the world's most famous train station, and beat the President's Trophy leading, and that still stands. Dallas Stars 1 point back. Last I checked, they're down 2-0 tonight. President's Trophy leading New York Rangers 4-1 to keep hope alive for at least another day. Wow. We're going to show poll results, a poll I took before the game and throughout the game about what people were feeling. You know, the poll I ran the other day, do you want to see them lose out? Do you want to see them try to get back in this thing? And it was a whole lot of lose out. And then, yeah, this was from last game after the first period, and it was 75-25. And it started to even out a little as it ran. Mm-hmm. And so pregame tonight, I asked, do you want to see the Flyers beat the Rangers and go from there? Let's just see what happens. Or let's just lose out, see if we can fall to maybe that ninth spot in the draft lottery odds and see if we can get a little lottery luck on top of that. And basically 50-50, lose out was up big.
It was.
I think I left this up through the game. So I think as the Flyers maybe scored first, it started to come around a little. The comments, the replies underneath are very split of like, oh, the culture truthers want to see this team get wrecked in the playoffs, maybe, rather than help the lottery odds or whatever. And the other people are just the delusional optimists, of whom, you know, a group you represent. It's sometimes one of the reasons I want you here tonight. And it worked out perfectly. Just before we get into any of the how, what, why, whatever, what'd you think tonight, Hanks?
I am regrettably all the way back in. I mean, as is my way. I saw your poll on Twitter this afternoon and I voted lose out because that's where I was mentally at the time. I am no longer there mentally. I am 100% back in on the playoffs because the Flyers looked great tonight. They looked so good. Travis Konecny, who I know Charlie says we've been too hard on him, but you and I have been complaining about him for weeks. He was all over the ice. He looked incredible. Sam Harrison, NHL goaltender. Like, it was just a well-played, well-executed, really good hockey game that was, like, reminiscent of what we saw from them 4 months ago.
He held the Rangers to 25 shots on goal. Sam Harrison stops 24 of them for a 960 save percentage. A lot of guys had bounce back performances. Tonight, I think we'll start with Sam Harrison.
Sammy.
Is it just this simple? Now, listen, we've done some shows recently where we go, listen, we are not discounting how bad the goaltending has been. And if you saw the tweet today about, like, listen, even during this 8-game losing streak, the Corsi numbers, blah, 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 they're all pretty at least good, if not very good. And then you look at they're getting 760 goaltending during this, and the next closest team is like 830 or something.
Yeah.
And you can't win like that. I keep saying, if you have MacKinnon and McDavid and get 760, you're still going to lose.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of things that went wrong. And even my reply to that, because someone tagged me in it, was like, I know that the goalies have been bad. Also, you know how you make a goalie look bad when there's unchecked dudes in front of the, like on the doorstep putting home slam dunks? Is it just as simple as if the goalies are normal? I'm not even saying good. Tonight, Harrison was good. But if they're just fucking normal, this is a playoff team?
So a few games ago when I was also here for postgame, we were sitting on the couch and I had a weird revelation that just popped into my head that I was like, oh shit, it's just goaltending. Like, that's literally it. Goaltending good, team good. Goaltending bad, team bad. And honestly, I know with Charlie not being here, I'm allowed to say whatever I want because he can't tell me that
Charlie
I'm dumb.
Will be along in a little bit.
He can't hear me now.
He's up at MSG, but you know he's not talking right now.
No. So like, it may seem reductive, but I do kind of think that the entire reason why these last 8 games were so bad is the goaltending. And here's why. So I forget where I heard him say it. Somewhere I heard Jason Mertidis, who we all know is a goaltender. I heard him talk about the fact that when the goaltending is bad, it's not just that the goaltending is bad. It's that the whole team in front starts to play differently.
Yes.
Because the goaltending is bad.
And we talked about how they've lost their structure. If yes. you believe you can't give up any shot,
everything gets jumbly.
All of a sudden, everyone's doing a bunch of shit they're not supposed to do because it's like, let's take away the most obvious things. And then if the goalie has to stop one, he'll do it because it's open. Like, it's just him and the shooter, not a high difficulty shot. He'll stop it. When that's in your mind that, no, man, like, it could be a 50-foot shot. It ain't going in, or it's going to go in. You start to play differently.
And here's the thing. Tonight, they got some big saves from Harrison early. And I have a feeling that that might have put back in their head, like, okay, shit, maybe he's got it tonight. Because I'm sure they're not idiots. They watch or they see the results the same as we do. When Harrison's on, he's on. When he's off, he's off. And so maybe they saw him being on early in the game and they were like, okay, maybe we can play a hockey game tonight. And it just kind of trickled up from there. And I really do think that it might have just been the shitty goaltending.
It was definitely a huge part of it. I mean, Harrison, we've seen his numbers since February 15th. He just fell off a cliff. The backups have been bad to say. Like, bad isn't even where you begin to talk about.
They were real bad.
Peterson.
Sandstrom.
Yeah, Sandstrom. And then Fedotov. He had that nice little game in relief where he looked okay. And then
he gets a pass.
It didn't. I mean, I know I was hard on him, but like, what the fuck? What are you going to ask?
It wasn't good.
What are you going to ask of the guy?
I know.
But whoever has been in net, it's been awful. And then Harrison suddenly like, okay, well, most nights at least, though, we get him and he's been good. When that started to just really be horrible, we started to see this team look like years past where it is chickens with the heads cut off in the defensive zone. And that affects everything because this team, yes, they were a rush offense. They were fun to watch. But it all started with, if we do what we're supposed to do defensively,
yes,
it results in two-on-ones and breakaways, and you should score in those situations. They did a lot. All of a sudden, all that went away, and we got what we got, the 8-game losing streak.
Yeah.
You know, 6 or 7 of those to lottery teams. It was really, really rough. And I see we have a super chat from our from boss man,
Friend
Vince.
Friend of the pod.
And he's
Vince
back.
Pellegrini.
He's back with the why not us.
Right.
I love it, Vince. I love the delusional optimism. It's part of what makes being a fan great because, listen, I was out. I was in the fuck it. Let's lose out. I was in the let's lose out.
Yeah.
Let's try to finish with the 9th best lottery odds situation.
Not anymore.
And I realize a miracle has to happen. But on our last show, what was it, yesterday? We talked about how these final 3 games, even if they don't result in wins, even if they don't result in making the playoffs, I don't want to go into the offseason talking about how this team quit.
Yeah.
And maybe this is too little too late. Maybe they did blow it. It's going to take a lot to get in now. But I don't want to be having this conversation again. No. I can't. I mean, I'll do it. But I really don't have it in me.
You don't want to.
Yeah, I truly do not want to.
So they just have to win. They have to win two games. That's all they got to do. I know other things have to happen as well, but I'm not concerned with those things.
Win your games and see what happens.
Win your games and see what happens. Tonight, they got a little bit of help. The stupid Penguins blew it against the Wings. That went to overtime. That was less than ideal. The Caps were losing. Great news. The Habs were
up. The Caps lose 4-2 to the Sabres. The Sabres are tangentially in it, but
not really. You know. The Habs were winning last time I checked. I don't know if they still are.
Canadians, 2 minutes left, 2-2 with the Isles, of course. So that'll go to OT. The Isles going to OT. What's new there?
Come on.
They need a lot to happen. I don't know the scenarios. I'll figure out the scenarios. We'll have a better understanding of them on Saturday's post-game show, I promise. But right now, it's simply about the Flyers not finishing the season
like
in
losers.
A way that erased the first 65 games. Like, that's what it's about. Don't negate all the hard work you did by finishing the season the way so many seasons have finished prior to this, where it's like, this isn't even an
NHL
team.
Don't be fucking losers. The super chats are coming in.
I'm seeing the super chats.
Tonight.
I see here one from Patrick Spear. Right when I'm out, they pull me
back in.
Absolutely. Do we see Fedotov any other times this season? Love everything you guys are doing. Can't wait for off-season speculation to begin. I can put off the off-season a little bit after tonight. I would say the only chance we see Fedotov again is in a relief situation. If Ersin suddenly loses it again, we might see Fedotov. But I don't think you can go away from your guy.
Not after tonight.
Especially after a performance like tonight. 24 of 25 against one of the best teams in the league.
Looks great.
Yeah, and the other super chat here from Permafrost X, Bill, go full on mullet if the Flyers get in.
Bill has a wife, you guys. She's got to look at him.
I know, and she's very supportive of all my dumb shit.
Go full Scott Hartnell. Just
oh, I think she'd prefer mullet over Hartnell. If I'm watching the game at home and she sees Hartnell, she's just like, "What is he doing?" He was like a normal, even with the big fro, he was a normal looking guy, and now he's ridiculous. If they win a round, I'll go mullet. How about that? If they get in and win a round, I'll do mullet.
I like it.
But I guess that's a good time.
They gotta really want it.
Now's a good time to get into the first thing I have to do tonight. So we had a super chat a couple of shows ago from K-Red, and K-Red's one of our most dedicated listeners. He's always showing up in the chat. He always watches us live. And he saw my appearance on the Gargano show on Monday, and he wanted to know about the idea of me being sent to wrestling school as PHLY content. What Monster Factory in Jersey is a very highly thought of wrestling school. It's one of the best in the nation. Danny Cage runs it. He's an excellent trainer. And I guess the opportunity has arisen for me to go to wrestling school. Something I've wanted to do since I was a kid, but now like I'm 35 with a wife and obviously I have fallen completely out of athletic shape. I am contemplating it. There's some things we have to work out, but I am leaning very much yes. And I'll tell you, before I start, though, because I want to do this for real. I have too much respect for what it is to, like, go into this and half-ass it and, like, you know, I'm just a
so
big
excited.
Fat loser and I die on day one. Like, I don't want to do that. So I have to, like, get myself into some semblance of athletic shape before I start. And I got to tell you, Factor Meals, you're going to play a big part in this.
That's right.
We could all probably stand to eat a little better, myself especially. After a long day of work, commutes, dealing with the world, who wants to cook and then do all that cleaning afterwards? And you can only even start that process if you had the foresight to go to the grocery store first. Who wants to do all that? So what do? I know, personally, I hit the delivery apps and get something way too expensive and probably not all that great for me rather than put in the work of like meal prep and all that stuff. But all that is changing with Factor. Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto Friendly. And you have two-minute meals. Fuel up fast with Factor's restaurant-quality meals that are ready to heat up and eat whenever you are, which comes in handy if, say, 3 to 4 nights a week you're watching hockey games at the PHLY studios, you know? No prep, no mess meals. Factor meals are ready to heat and eat, so there's no prepping, cooking, or cleanup needed. And you sign up and save. They've done the math for you. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. So head to factormeals.com/flyers50 and use code flyers50 to get 50% off. That's code flyers50 at factormeals.com/flyers50 to get 50% off today. All right. So
more super chats.
We have more super chats. People are just flying in. That's great.
Everyone's in a great mood.
Bill will headline WrestleMania 41. Book it, Hunter.
Yes.
Bill just wants to survive a couple of weeks of wrestling school. That was Vince trying to talk me into it. Was like, what if you're great at this?
Yeah.
I was like, what if, you know, pigs fly out of my ass? But no, it's an exciting proposition, and I'm looking forward to it. And the next one, geez, the WWE wrestlers are no mats for mats. I like that. Thank you, Permafrost. And thank you for these
you
super chats. Let's get back to the hockey. I'm sure we've lost like half of our audience, but it's my show. I get to talk about nonsense sometimes. So I guess we'll go back to the goaltending.
Yeah.
Tonight was a very strong bounce back performance for Sam Harrison, who has been dreadful.
Real bad.
In the last few weeks, and John Tortorella said it a few days ago. I know the numbers aren't good, but we're not here without him, and he's dead tired. Do you think this was a one-off performance, or maybe he's got a second, third, 12th wind, and he can carry them for the next two games?
I mean, who knows? Because goalies, like, who knows, honestly?
I mean, yeah.
But one thing that I think is encouraging is that the team defense overall tonight looked really good. And if they can carry that over into the next game, that's certainly going to help Harrison have another good performance because they won't be giving up nonsense left and right. There were a ton of takeaways in front of Harrison tonight, a ton of really good forechecking and backchecking and paychecking. but... Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you can predict such a thing. I would like to hope that Harrison's got a little boost of confidence from this game, a little second or third wind, and he can go into these last two games, which should be easier than this one.
The Flyers blocked 19 shots tonight.
Yeah.
That's a big part of who
they are.
It just keeps their goalies cleaner. Mm-hmm. It's part of their system, blocking shots. John Tortorella, it's been you remember 2004, it was the most frustrating shit in the world where the Flyers just couldn't get a shot through on Happy Bullen, and it was like, God damn it, just get one through. It is a big part of who they are, and it fuels their transition game.
Yes.
It can essentially act as a takeaway sometimes where suddenly they have a shot attempt. No, we're going the other way. Mm-hmm. All of that, I think, works in tandem with the goaltending.
Yes.
And it worked tonight. That's huge.
Yeah, and I think they feed off each other. Like I said, I think those early saves from Harrison let the team know that he was going to have it tonight. And as a result, they were able to settle back into, like you were saying, the structure that they know works. And as a result, everything looked better.
It's almost like it's a team sport.
Almost, yeah. Almost like, you know, everyone's got to work together in order for them to win hockey games.
What's this? Next super chat. Wow, big one from Timbo Slice. Remember Cody to lose first to finish the story. Flyers finish the story
next year.
This is the
wrestling show. I like
2024-25 Stanley Cup champs. I love it. Yeah, they'll finish the story next year. Why not? Yeah. Maybe Mishkov comes over unexpectedly. He's the rock, fuels the whole thing. Who knows?
Many people are saying this.
A huge part of tonight's game.
Mm-hmm.
A guy I criticized pretty thoroughly on yesterday's show. Travis Konecny.
You got him going again.
I don't want to take all the credit for it, but yes,
but
I do, actually.
Should.
Travis Konecny tonight, a goal and an assist, plus two, four shots and a hit, 17:04 time on ice. It doesn't look like anyone. No forwards played more than him. Hathaway also played 1704. But he was, man, it's, I know last, yesterday, like, how can I reverse my position this quickly? The idea of trading him, not re-signing him, whatever.
Because you can. That's how it works.
I know. His sequence that set up his eventual goal, and it's his 32nd to set a new career high.
Yeah.
He has a takeaway in the defensive zone, starts the rush the other way, is then the trailer, gets the puck and beats John Quick. That's the connecting we saw all year.
Yes.
Wired the puck to beat him. Almost had another one on a breakaway. I don't know how. Like, his move worked too well.
Yeah.
Like, Quick sold out too fastly. He thought he was going to have to beat him five hole. And it was no. He's down. And he somehow didn't score. Yeah. Like, had the whole net. But this is the Travis Konecny we just fucking love. Like, this is the TK. Yeah. One game. And I'm like...
Yeah, I know.
8 times 8.
Yeah. Because that's how
and
this
maybe
works.
That's a bad idea. But
who's to say?
He
if
is,
you get this guy every night, is it a bad idea?
He is the straw that stirs the drink, and it's just so much. Like, imagine this now. What's he at? So he's a goal and an assist tonight. So he ends up with 35. He's got 32 goals, 35 assists. So 67 points on a team that literally cannot score. What could he be if you put real players around him?
Yep.
Young players who are as adept at this style as he is. He has obviously taken to this John Tortorella style of offense. It's really hard to watch him play this way and feel the way I have for the last couple weeks.
I saw some people either on Twitter or in your comments during shows while Konecny was looking like garbage. Saying that if you re-sign him, he's going to be the next Drew. I'm guessing, implying that he's going to be the guy.
I think I said it.
Did you say it? Oh, like, I guess implying that, like, he's just going to be good and they're not going to build a team around. Like, I don't really know what the implication there
My
is.
My implication was we're going to do it. And even if he's good, like, watching what they were the last couple weeks, it's going to be, like, in year 6 of the 8-year deal. You know, we fucking wasted Travis Konecny. And it's not even like an it's not even an indictment of him, really, as it is just where they're going to be.
But what if they don't waste Travis Konecny? Again, I feel like we keep forgetting, and it's easy to, that there is an entirely new group of people running this team. We don't know yet if they're going to fuck it up. They might. But right now, we don't know. And there's a very solid chance that, unlike the previous regimes who did, in fact, waste Claude Giroux's entire career, they could sign Travis Konecny 8x8, and build a team around him that can win. Like, that is a plausible result for all of this. And I think people have to keep that in mind. Also, after watching him tonight, the energy all over the ice, looking just like great passing. Takeaways, like, he was just everywhere and he looked awesome. I want a player like that on my team.
And it's always been, you know, to keep the analogy, like, they didn't build around Claude Giroux.
Yeah.
I think he was good enough to be, if not the best, at least co-best player on a Stanley Cup champion.
100%.
If you had a bunch of really good next tier guys, like if you had 6 Travis Konecny, you know, something like that. Konecny will not be the guy. He will be a major piece. He might play on the first line with the guy. He would not be the one we're looking to, like, you need to win us the game.
Well, here's the thing. All of this hinges on Mishkov being that guy. Like, that's, like, if he's not that guy, like, all of this is fucked anyway. So, like, we need him to be that guy. And the only thing that I can do as a fan is just believe that he's going to be, because every indication seems to suggest that he will be. If he's not, then we're fucked. But he's going to be that guy. So, you know, we need some more pieces, obviously. A center would be very nice.
Sure would.
Yeah, but oh my God, there's like 17 super chats.
Oh my God.
Everyone's got to chill. I'm just going to give you all my
leave
Venmo.
Off? Where do we leave? Vince says I'm going to be good at being a wrestler.
Of course
he's
he will.
Proud of me. I love you, Vince. You're just, I've never had a boss. I've been lucky to have in this business a ton of really good bosses, plus the people at SB Nation. It was like putting them outside.
The group. Oh, okay, gotcha. Like
plus them. Yeah, right. But Vince is one of the most encouraging people ever. It's a delight to work here. What do we have? Permafrost again. Real talk, is Zegras a legit possibility for us? Much the way they were willing to part with Jamie Drysdale, the Ducks, because they have so many defensemen coming in the pipeline, you do look at them and go, they have a bunch of forwards.
They do.
The offseason contract negotiations with Zegras, much like Drysdale, were contentious. Mm-hmm. And they don't seem to love him there.
No.
There is a working relationship now, obviously. They made one trade with the Ducks, and we saw in previous regimes, it's like, you tend to go back to the well a lot. I think it's a possibility. Whether they have the assets to make it happen, I have no idea what they're willing to part with. Bringing Zegras in because, he's boys with Cam York. Like, it's hard to think Cam York wouldn't be part of that, or... I don't know. I have no idea. I think it's not a possibility is what I'll say.
Yeah.
And he does fit a need. He's a true 1C or not,
that's
time
the thing.
Will
he's
tell.
Also a little bit of a project, too.
Yeah, he's
How
not...
How many projects do you want to take on?
He's not exactly, a can't-miss superstar. He's very good, but I do look at him kind of like another Konechny, where it's, all right, we made this great trade. We got a really good player. We still need more. How many assets do you want to give up for a guy who doesn't solve the problem?
We do have a lot of winners.
And from there, we have another one from Rory. Will Torts be visiting fam or only after an L?
Oh, I get it.
Oh.
Is he not talking to the press?
Listen,
I'm sure he's out there.
I am
tonight.
Willing to buy. I mean, it's not as if there aren't restaurants in the places that he was having family visit. I'm willing to buy... that he had family in town the last couple times. But you know who will be visiting us?
Who's that?
It is Philadelphia's number one hockey beat reporter. It is Charlie O'Connor. He is live at the world's most famous train station. Charlie, of course they won tonight, right?
Of course they did. It's classic Flyers.
What were your impressions of tonight's resounding victory over the President's Trophy leaders?
Yeah, I just think that enough things broke their way that allowed them to have the confidence to play the type of game they needed to play. They get the first goal. I thought that was huge. Number two, it was abundantly clear, which we haven't had for quite a while, it was abundantly clear in the first period that Sam Harrison was on his game. And I think the team fed off that. Third, I guess, because the first was the first goal. Second was Harrison. Third was they finally get a bounce. Like, Keandre Miller puts the puck in his own net off a good bounce. And I just think those three things, the fact they finally were getting some stops, the fact that they got the first goal so they weren't chasing the game, and then finally the fact they actually get a good bounce, I think that allowed them to loosen up and play their game, because this was becoming a team that was waiting for something bad to happen. And once it became clear tonight that that bad thing wasn't going to happen, that they were finally getting some things to go their way, I think they just were able to loosen up and play the way they know they can play. I really do think that that's more or less what happened. Like, look, the Rangers got their chances. The Rangers actually, I don't know what the advanced metrics came out to at the end of the game, but for the bulk of the game, the Rangers were ahead in expected goals. Yeah, the Rangers finished with 3.72 expected goals. The Flyers finished with 2.20. So Rangers, from a scoring chance standpoint, from a raw chance standpoint, outplayed the Flyers. And you know what? They should. They're a better team than the Flyers. But I just got the sense that for the first time in a couple weeks, the Flyers were expecting things to go right rather than waiting for something to go wrong. And they got some bounces, they get a win. Good for them.
Charlie, the thing we were talking about right before you came on is my flip-flopping and hypocrisy. Obviously, yesterday we have a show, and I am ready to move on from Travis Konechny. There's absolutely no point in keeping him. They're just going to waste him the way they did Claude Giroux. And tonight... pounding the table on 8x8, obviously. Sam Harrison was huge, getting the bounce huge, but TK being the straw that stirs the drink, how important was that for them tonight?
it was obvious from the very beginning of the first period that they were getting good Travis Konecny. And yeah. I made the argument on the last two shows I've been on that I didn't believe Konecny on Tuesday was lacking energy. I thought he was trying. I thought it was very obvious that he was flying around trying to do stuff. I just thought it was completely misdirected and misguided energy, and it wasn't actually helping anything. But I never questioned his effort. I never questioned how much he cared in that game. He just was a mess. He was running around like a chicken with his head cut off. But he was running. He was running a lot. Well, this game, he was running just as much, but it was controlled. It was in the right direction. It was creating chances in transition. It was attacking the guy with the puck and getting the puck from him. This was a vintage Konecny game. You know, that third goal, that's all him. He creates the circumstances for the goal mm-hmm. with his play in the defensive zone, and then he trails the play, puts himself in position for a pass, and rips it home. John Tortorella actually specifically noted how important he felt that third goal was, just in terms of giving the team not just breathing room, but the ability to exhale a little bit in between the second and third periods, rather than be worried like, oh God, we're only one up on these guys. We could blow this. It was just enough that allowed them in the second intermission not to be so worried and just be like, yeah, we can close this out. This is doable. That was a big goal. But it wasn't just the goal. You know, he sets up the Cam York goal to start the game. Mm-hmm. He completely torches Keandre Miller on the rush. Basically makes the dude fall down. It was more or less like a basketball crossover, essentially. And then he sets up Cam York. And you just knew. You knew this was going to be a good Travis Konecny game. You know, we asked Noah Cates, we asked Sam Harrison about it after the game. They both kind of marveled at it. They all know he's their most talented player. It's abundantly clear. And they know that he has not given that level over the last couple weeks. Tonight, he gave that level, and the Flyers won. That's no coincidence. When your best players play real well, you tend to win games. Their best player played real well, they won.
I thought another guy who they're very much depending on, not just this year, but they need him to be some semblance of okay, at least, in the next few seasons, is Sean Couturier. Ends up playing 16 minutes tonight. I thought that's a good sign. Gets the assist on the Noah Cates goal. These are encouraging things. No, like, I thought Sean Couturier was effective tonight. What did you think?
Yeah,
I think he was fine. I think he has another gear. I hope he has another gear. But he was put back in the top nine. They kind of reworked that fourth line to be more or less Lawton, Atkinson, and Farabee, which fair. Farabee doesn't deserve to be in the top nine right mm-hmm. now, and Lawton hasn't been playing all that well recently either, to be honest with you. Not that anybody has. But they gave Couturier another shot in the top nine. I personally didn't think he was amazing, but I thought he was fine. He did his job. He hung in there, and yeah, they need – we talked about this. They need Sean Couturier to be a top six quality center if they want to be the team from the first 50. I don't think he was a top six quality center tonight, but I think he was fine. And given the fact that they had great Travis Konecny and they had good Sam Harrison, that was enough.
Charlie, it looks like Nick Seeler and Jamie Drysdale played third pair minutes tonight. And like resoundingly so. I mean, after last game, what can you expect? Fair. But I just... can you depend on Eric Johnson and Igor Zamula? I don't think. And Charlie, we've lost. Okay, there he is.
No,
got a little
dark. They just turned the lights off.
The train station, everyone.
It's fine. I'm still here.
Okay, John. Just what did you think of the defensive deployment tonight?
Well, I specifically asked Torts this morning about the Drysdale-Sealer pairing. Basically, like, look, we all know that they were bad last game. Have you lost faith in their chemistry and that long-term possibility of a pair? And he basically said, look, we're going to start with that pair tonight, but if it goes bad again, I reserve the right to change it real quick. He didn't change it, but he very clearly dropped their minutes, understandably so. They were a dumpster fire last game. I mean, I less want to talk about them, in all honesty, because, like, yeah, it's interesting they were the third pair. I more want to talk about the other four defense, because I thought York and Sanheim had a really strong game.
They did.
And I am very much not a fan of the Zamola Johnson pairing, but if you're dropping Drysdale and Sealer down to third pair duties, you got to move up the Zamola Johnson pairing to second pair duties. And look, Johnson wasn't perfect. He takes that kind of dumb penalty to give them the two-man advantage to tie the game. I knew there were some people on Twitter that were saying it wasn't a penalty. It sure looked like one to me. I don't know. But I don't know. Maybe that was just homerish. I don't know. I saw people on Twitter being like, oh, that was a weak call. Was it? Looked like a penalty to me. I don't know. But
he jumped.
Point being is that I thought Zamola was significantly better tonight than he's been in weeks. And it wasn't that he was great. It was just that he wasn't actively bad.
Yeah.
And you're taking top 4 minutes against the team that entered the game with the most standings points in the NHL. Given the way that Zamola and Johnson have played recently, I would have expected that to be a disaster. They would have gotten 3 goals scored against them. Instead, they just played fine. And that's all they needed, given the fact that, again, you had Airson playing a really good game and you had Konechny in vintage Konechny mode. So props to the top four. Like, interesting that Drysdale and Sealer were dropped to third pair. More interesting to me that York and Sanheim, sure, they still have some gas left in the tank, and Zamola Johnson wasn't the dumpster fire I feared it could be if they were given top four duties.
I honestly thought Bobby Brink in the last game was one of the few, I don't know if I can say bright spots, but guys who stood out a little bit. Brink scores tonight. It's his 11th goal. And I thought another bright spot was Noah Cates, now on a 5-game point streak. In the first 52 games of the season, 3 goals. Last 5 games, 3 goals. Regardless of how this thing shakes out, they still need to win the next two and have a whole bunch of shit go their way as well to make the playoffs. If Cates and Brink end strong, I think that's a good sign going forward. What did you think of those two tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I think Brink was good. Brink obviously scores his goal on a bit of a fluky play. The puck goes off Condre Miller's stick and in, but I still think he was fine. Cates, I thought, was very good. Cates, you look at the ice time, he was third among the forwards in ice time. Cates is a guy who John Tortorella has always loved. I think it killed him to lower Cates' minutes this year, but the guy just was scoring at the level of like a replacement level forward for over half the season. I know he dealt with the injury, so that took some time out of his year, but when he was playing, he wasn't scoring. You had to drop him down the lineup. Now you're seeing the version of Cates we saw for a lot of last year. We're seeing it at a key time. And look, we've talked a lot over the last couple weeks about this being an information gathering part of the year. You're learning about guys. And John Tortorella said some interesting things today, this morning, at after morning skate, about, you know, it's not even just that they're learning this guy doesn't have it versus this guy does. It's that, you know, in some cases, Konechny being, I think, a glaring example, they're learning what pitfalls guys can fall into in these situations. Like, they're learning that Travis Konechny has a tendency in big games to maybe try a little bit too hard, which allows them to coach him and maybe have that be the focus, the part of that point of emphasis with him when he's going into a playoff series. Like, TK, we know you've got the energy. You just got to calm down a little bit. Like, dial it from 15 to 13, and we got something. It's information gathered. I think they're learning some things about guys like Konechny. But with somebody like Noah Cates, I think they're learning that Noah Cates is the kind of guy who steps up in games like this. You know, this is a guy who played for Minnesota Duluth in college, a powerhouse pretty much every year. I think he just might be a guy who just kind of knows how to step up in big games. I'm getting that impression, because as bad as this team has been over this run, you just said it, no case on a 5-game point streak. He's one of the few guys who, even when they were losing, I was like, he's been a bright spot. So look, maybe this is just a well-timed hot streak for him when everyone else is in an ill-timed cold streak. But I've liked what I've seen from Noah Cates, especially because it does seem like he's one of the few guys that appears to be upping his game when the games get more meaningful rather than getting worse.
His goal tonight was sick.
His goal was sick tonight.
It was sick.
Charlie, I put out a tweet earlier. I put out a poll at the very end of the game. Are we in LFG mode or too little too late? And I had a tweet like, you know, it's nice to see they didn't quit. You put the article out today, how important these last 3 games are. Like, we just need to see them. Maybe it was yesterday. I don't know. Days aren't real.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
Do you think right now, like a performance like tonight and let's say they carry it over for the Devils and Caps games. Let's say they look good. Is this, oh, well, the pressure's off, as I'm seeing so many of my mentions. Like, of course they look good now that they've blown it. The pressure's off. Or is it a good sign that they seem to have, at least for one night, rebounded?
Well, I think it's a good sign. If you're someone who doesn't want this team to obviously quit on the coach, I think it's a very good sign because it shows that, like, the Montreal game wasn't them just mutinying on the guy and being like, we're not going to play the last five games until they fire the coach. So it's a good sign, certainly, from that perspective. I think it's a good sign because it shows they still have pride. It shows that they still care about how the season ends. As I said yesterday, it's not like they are in between periods, fiddling away on their phones, booking vacation times and tea times for the end of April. Like, they're still trying. They still want this, and they are still showing that they're willing to give the necessary effort to beat a team that entered this game with the most points in hockey. So I think it's a good sign. That said, and I don't know if you guys broke down the standings at the beginning of the show, but, like, it's still highly unlikely they make the playoffs. The Islanders won in overtime, so the Islanders are at 89 points.
It's wild card only now, yeah.
Already, with the Flyers, that's, like, the most they can get. So third in the Metro, that's pretty much over. We can wipe that out. But you look at even the final wild card spot, okay, Flyers are at 85 points. The Penguins are at 86, 1 point ahead. They have one game in hand. Detroit's tie. They have one game in hand, and their final two games are against the Habs. Washington, I don't even know what is with that team. Like, that's the team the Flyers probably can catch because they do play them in the final game of the year, and the Caps do have a difficult schedule. But they need both Pittsburgh and Detroit to fall flat on their face in addition to winning both their – in addition to the Flyers winning both their final games. It seems unlikely. So my main takeaway from this is not, oh, my God, they're going to make playoffs. It's, I'm happy that they showed some pride. I'm happy they showed the obvious effort. And I'm happy that they've, at least for a couple days, killed the narrative that this team has quit. I'm happy about that.
It is nice that we don't have to have that conversation, at least for a couple of days. You know, we'll get through the weekend, and then we'll pick it up on Tuesday and see where we are. But it is nice that that's the case. Kelly, unless you have anything else, I think it's time for Charlie O'Connor's three stars of the game. Let's leave it off to star number three.
Star number three, I will go with the 1C in your hearts, Ryan Poehling.
Yes, that's my 1C,
two assists tonight. Two assists tonight. I thought he was strong all around. I thought the I know they give up a goal on that 5-on-3, but I thought the penalty kill on the hull had a good game tonight against a pretty high-powered power play. Poehling gets the two assists. He gets the assist on the Brink goal, but Brink goal doesn't happen, not even just because he passed the puck up ice, but because he's the guy who puts Miller in the position to deflect that in. Poehling, again, Torts is leaning on him, maybe more than I would, but you know what? In this game, it worked. Poehling delivered a solid performance. He's my third star.
Let's go to star number two.
Yeah, star number two is Sam Harrison. He got the dog mask tonight, so props to him.
Nice.
Harrison, I think one of the low-key, and I tweeted about it, one of the low-key big moments of this game, it was in the second period, I believe the Flyers are still only up one goal, and the Flyers get trapped in their own zone. And they're in their own zone for like a good minute, the Rangers cycling them to death. They were actually doing a pretty good job of playing defense, but they were just getting exhausted. You could tell they were getting tired. You could tell that, you know, the dam was buckling. There were some little leaks springing in that dam. Somebody takes it wasn't a shot that was going to turn into a goal, but it was a shot with real velocity, and it was a difficult shot that was going wide. And Harrison nabs it with his glove and creates a stoppage. That's the kind of play that Harrison has not made over these last few weeks. They needed a stoppage. They need to get it in some way. And he reaches out on a puck going wide, has the presence of mind to recognize, my guys are tired. I need to get a whistle. And he gets one. And those are the kind of plays he was making all night. I did think it was funny when I brought up to Noah Cates about getting the good bounce. You know, did that, like, the good bounce on the Brink goal. And I said, was that the moment when everybody exhaled? And I think he gave a little bit away in a way that he probably didn't even mean to, because his first answer was not, no, that was the moment. His first answer was, yeah, and our goalie was making some really good stops. And, like, you just tell that, like, that was the moment when they all exhaled, when they realized, oh, Eris is good tonight. We can breathe a little bit.
Yep.
And like, it was kind of a telling response because it hints that like, that's really what's been going on here. More than anything else, they were losing faith in their goalies. And that was what was leading to all of the chaos. More than them being pissed at Torts, more than the finishing being bad, that at its core, they were never gonna hang Sam Harrison out to dry and be like, yeah, we're obviously losing because our goalies freaking suck. But when Noah Cates, his first thing of like, when did you guys start feeling a sense of relief that this might go differently? And it was, well, when our goalie was making saves. That kind of tells the tale. And Sam Harrison, props to you, buddy. You made some saves. You go 24 for 25 on this night, 960 save percentage. You get the dog mask. You get the Flyers a win. Good for you, Sam. You're my second star.
Before we go to star number one, we got a question earlier. Do you think there's any chance outside of a relief appearance we see Fedotov again in the last two games?
I think Harrison gets the Devils game. Maybe if the Flyers lose the Devils game and they are officially eliminated, maybe they give Harrison one last look. But I don't know. They might just go Harrison the rest of the way, and that's fine. At this point, like, I guess at this point, you dance with the one that brought you, and Harrison brought you here. So I have no problem if they go Harrison the final two games. That's fine.
All right, and let's finish it off with star number one.
Star number one is obviously Travis Konecny. That's a given. He was the best player on the ice tonight for both teams. He was the catalyst for the Flyers, like he has been for so many games this year. He creates the first goal. He scores the third goal. He was noticeable on so many other shifts where he didn't create a goal. This was Travis Konecny at his best. And apparently he changed your mind about signing him to an extension. So that just speaks to the quality of the game he had.
Just like
Travis Konecny, my first star.
All right, Charlie, I think that'll do it. Make sure you get that train. Get the hell out of that train station. You never know what's going to go on in there late at night. Hoping to see you again real soon. That is Philadelphia's number one hockey beat reporter, Charlie O'Connor, coming to us live from MSG. He'll finish out the season at Wells Fargo Center with a couple of games at home, and it'll start Saturday. We'll be back here with postgame Saturday, and Saturday is a big one.
Big one.
Not just because it's the Devils, not just because it could keep them alive. It's Wayne Simmons
night. Don't fuck around on Wayne Simmons night.
Do not screw around on Wayne Simmons night.
Embarrass me in front of Wayne Simmons.
Do not, absolutely. And if you want to go to that game,
oh,
you want to pay tribute to number 17,
mm-hmm,
an all-time Flyer in my mind. Maybe outside of Mike Richards, my favorite post-lockout Flyer of all time, I'd say.
It's a solid choice.
And considering his tenure versus how Richards ended, like, you know, maybe my favorite. You got to use game time to get in on that action. But whether you're trying to check out Wayne Simmons Day or the last day of the season against the Caps, or, you know, it's baseball season, you want to go check out these fightins', you got to use game time, because game time is now an authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball, which makes getting tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to first pitch. Game Time is the place for last-minute ticket deals. I've been telling you that all season. You get the killer last-minute deals, not to mention the all-in pricing. It's awesome to see what you're going to pay before you click a bunch of buttons and are already mentally like, I'm going. Oh, no, it's $100 more than I expected. You don't get that with Game Time. They give you the all-in pricing. And you get views from your seats. You'll know what it's going to look like, so there are no surprises when you get to the venue. And there's the lowest price guarantee. If you find tickets in the same section row for less, Game Time will refund you 110% of the difference. Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying Major League Baseball tickets. Told you about the last minute deals. You can save up to 60% off buying last minutes for sports as well as concerts, comedy, theater, any event you want to go to. You get those deals. And the flash deals. Save even more with exclusive in-app deals on select seats ahead of the game or event. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. For limited time, all users can get $20 off any MLB purchase of $150 or more in the Game Time app with code FIRSTPITCH. Terms apply. That's code FIRSTPITCH for $20 off through April 14th only. So you only have a few more days to take advantage. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. And while we're here, let me tell you about Olipop. I am. Olipop is growing on me more and more every day as I discover the new flavors. I was talking to Bryn before the show. She's a big fan of the root beer, as am I. And I have long thought, much like the Hansen brothers, none of that stinking root beer. Let me tell you about Olipop, though. Olipop is the world's first functional soda with a classic soda taste and the benefits of plant-based fiber, prebiotics, and other botanical ingredients to support gut health. Olipop is a new kind of soda with only 2 to 5 grams of sugar per can, as well as 9 grams of fiber per can. If you're drinking a regular soft drink, I want you right now to look at the label and see the sugar content. I just told you Olipop's 2 to 5 grams. It's going to be 10 times that minimum for whatever you're drinking, I guarantee it. Listen, 2 out of every 3 Americans say they suffer from digestive issues. 95% of Americans don't get the daily recommended amount of fiber. Olipop is tackling both of these issues with a drink that tastes just like soda. Prebiotic fiber is the food source for the beneficial probiotic bacteria in your gut, and Olipop has 9 grams of prebiotic fiber in every can that can help support your digestive health. You've heard me make the joke before. If you've got a gut like mine, you got to keep it healthy. And Olipop is available online and available in almost 30,000 retailers nationwide, including their most recent launch at Wawa. Now you can get your snack, you can get your lunch, and you can get a delicious soda that won't leave you feeling guilty if you go with Olipop and the 2 flavors they've debuted, classic root beer and strawberry vanilla. I'm a fan of both. And honestly, those are not on my list of soft drinks I would typically buy. And you can get them online as well as all the other flavors. Go to drinkolipop.com and use the code PHLY20 for 20% off your next order. Discount only applies to one-time orders, not subscriptions. Olipop sold online, drinkolipop.com, and it's available in 30,000 retailers. Told you about Wawa, but you can get it at Target, Sprouts, Wegmans, ShopRite, GoPuff, wherever you do your shopping, get your Olipop. All right.
Super chat.
We have another super chat. It's Vince. It's Vince. Vince says, how do you feel about what happened to Arizona?
It's wild.
I feel so bad for the... I mean, we have, obviously, one of our sister stations, PHNX, is in Phoenix, and Craig Morgan and that whole crew. I mean, Craig Morgan is... He was like on Chicklets this week.
Yeah.
He is one of the preeminent voices, and he's down there. It sucks for them. It sucks for the fans.
Yeah.
That organization has just been plagued by incompetent ownership since the beginning. Yeah. I do think hockey can work there. Like, we've seen, like, look at Austin Matthews. Look at Doan's kid who grew up there. Now, like, there's dudes who have come out of Arizona and Phoenix since that team has got there.
Yeah.
We know what hockey can do when it takes hold in an area, but, like, they got nowhere to play.
Yeah, not having a building is a big problem.
It is. So, yeah, that's, I mean, I don't want to get too much into this. I talked to Rachel Dory today. I just totally blanked about what I did a few hours ago. Talked to Rachel Dory today. That interview will drop right here on the YouTube page.
I like those.
Oh, she's great.
Yeah.
That'll drop right here on the YouTube page tomorrow. We talked plenty about the Arizona Coyotes situation. You can check it out there tomorrow. It'll be up. But let's just take a look real quick at the standings. Charlie was referencing it's
just wild card for us now.
2 games left. That's, and they can't win. Yeah, they're at 89, and that's all the really, because the Flyers have the regulation win tiebreaker. I don't know. There's probably other things, but whatever it is. And the Islanders do have a game in hand too as well, so they are up on points percentage.
Wait, if the Islanders lose out and the Flyers win out, then we have the tiebreaker. Yes?
I think so.
It's too much math for me. I just have to let it happen.
They still have the points percentage, though, because of all the overtime losses. So I guess that would be it.
I don't know.
It's the first tiebreaker is points percentage, but I always expect that to be equal at the end of the season. But I guess because they have so many points in overtime, that would be the first one.
God,
the first tiebreaker
with overtime.
The first tiebreaker should be regulation wins.
Yes,
but it's not.
They fucking love the loser point.
I don't know. It seems as if the second wild card is the only door that's open. Pittsburgh is holding that, and they have the. They're at 86 right now, and they have a game in hand on the Flyers. Flyers would need to get to 87, 89, and Pittsburgh would have to obviously come short of 89.
Penguins have a tough few games, though.
They do.
They have Boston, I think, and I forget who else, but they're not easy opponents. So they're, I mean,
it's highly unlikely the Flyers get in.
There are ways.
There's ways.
And I feel better about it today than I did yesterday.
I do feel better, but if they, because it's so unlikely.
Yeah.
Is it better that they just lose?
No. Not after tonight, Bill. Yesterday, yes. Today, no. Imagine they on the broadcast today, the anniversary of Brian Boucher's 82nd game win with his little dance coming out of the net. Imagine if we get to this Washington game and that's the one they got to win and they clinch it again. It's so fun. Let yourself have fun. It's sports.
I do think that, like, as much as we say let yourself have fun, there are reasons.
Nah.
For the future, this rebuild, to want to see this team finish lower in the standings.
Listen, I was there for them losing out for that reason, but they didn't do that. So now I'm back on the other side. That's how it works.
And they are going
to on Saturday. It could be completely different. I make no promises to any of you, but for now, back in. Let's go.
All right.
Let's fucking go.
I am part of LFG movement just because. Yeah, this was always when I was working the overnights with Big Daddy Graham in the midst of the Sixers process. It was a nightly debate about, you know, losing on purpose, etc. You all remember it, especially the local listeners here. And he would say something that was so simple, but true. A Philadelphia player takes a shot, I root for it to go in.
That's right.
An opponent takes a shot, I root for it to not go in.
He's a smart
and as
man.
Much as I fully understand the idea of let's see if we can get a top 10 pick, let's see if we can get a little lucky in the lottery, I like when the Flyers win.
It's what we're supposed to root for. Like, I hate to break it to everyone watching who's obsessed with losing, but we're supposed to be wanting them to win. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I can't go in. Like, I can take a macro view in the off season. I can think about big picture shit later. When we're talking about games, there's not a situation in which even when I say I hope they lose out, I'm watching a game and I'm wanting them to win. I just looked at the poll too. The folks.
Let's take a look at the final poll I put up.
You people.
After beating the President's Trophy leading Rangers, and it looks like they're still in command. Last I looked, it was 3-0 Jets over the Stars. So despite losing, the Rangers are going to stay in the President's Trophy lead. After beating the President's Trophy leading Rangers and MSG, LFG, let's fucking go, is at 36%.
What am I going to do with you people?
And too little too late is at 63.8%. So it's even more on the too little too late scale. I understand and I feel for these people. I understand where they're coming from. I just like, they worked so hard to get here.
Yeah.
I get that 8-game losing streak was a kick in the dick. But the resilience is what has made them who they are all year.
I got to tell you, picking 12th or picking 14th is not going to change the franchise. It's just not.
And maybe these other teams behind them will win and they'll end up with the 10th or 9th pick anyway.
But maybe not.
All right, before we get out of here, I got to tell you about becoming a diehard.
Do it.
Something that Charlie actually published today was part two of his monthly mailbag. He's a little behind. This is the March mailbag.
Come on, Chuck.
It's been busy. But he always makes part two for diehards only. And the only way to get your questions answered is if you're part of the PHLY Flyers Discord. The only way to get into that Discord is to become a diehard. So if you want to harass Charlie and ask the dumbest shit imaginable,
He's contractually obligated to answer.
He has promised the Discord members, anyone who asks a mailbag question, he will answer it in his mailbag articles. Ooh. And that's just one of the many, many benefits of becoming a PHLY diehard. So if you're a fan of us, if you want to support what we've done over this season and what we're going to continue to do, as long as they keep the lights on here for us, go to allphly.com and become a diehard member. I mean, you get a free shirt when you sign up. You get access to the Discord, all the premium content, the stuff we have coming in terms of premium content. Les Bowen just joined, all of his articles. They're going to be behind the paywall. Jim Salisbury is going to be part of our Phillies coverage. He is also going to be behind the paywall. I mean, I just named two legitimate legends, two guys I grew up reading in this town. The only place to find them is going to be at allphly.com if you become a diehard.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, Hanks, you got anything else tonight?
Nah, I'm good.
All right, that'll do it for us. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for hanging out. If you haven't already, you know what to do. Subscribe.
Like and subscribe.
Reminders, Twitter.
Ring the bell.
Podcast, etc. Until next time, my name is Bill Matz. That's Kelly Hinkle. Let's finish strong, 2-0.
Yeah. Y'all
silly like the mayor.